السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Recording. Today, inshallah, we'll take the name of Allah, Al-Mutakabbir. So what's the name of Allah? Al-Mutakabbir. The meaning of Al-Mutakabbir, huh? Oh, yes. Use the black as much as you want. You can.
I'll just use the red to highlight the important
part. Okay. Okay. So the name of Allah, Al-Mutakabbir. The name of Allah, Al-Mutakabbir. Al-Mutakabbir means the one who puts himself higher than his creation. Right? So, okay. Al-Mutakabbir to a person that's bad. If you want to describe a person as bad, we say this person is mutakabbir. This person is mutakabbir. Mutakabbir means arrogant, thinks that he is above everyone. This person is mutakabbir.
That's mutakabbir.
Bad. So when it is called on a human, it becomes like a bad thing. You know,
yeah,
it becomes a bad thing.
Don't get
it,
guys.
Okay.
Hey, language.
Whoa, what did he say?
Imagine, one more and get out the class.
They cussed. They pulled out the pants.
To you. Take care.
Okay, yes, it's bad habits that have started hard to break.
It's not.
You catch yourself, say something else.
Well, they're not hard to break.
Self-discipline.
Over there.
I mean, if you're weak, like some people I know, it might be hard, but for guys like me, easy to.
Okay, Mazen now.
Oh.
Okay. Al-Mutakabbir. Al-Mutakabbir means the one who puts himself above his creation, above everybody. If I say, this guy is Mutakabbir, everybody will say, ew, yuck, Mutakabbir. Means that he's putting himself above everybody else. He thinks very highly of himself. He praises himself so much. He's so full of himself. This is called what? Arrogance. Arrogance. Okay? Arrogance. So this person is arrogant. And this is a bad thing to say about a human. But when it is Allah, it becomes, when you say Allah al-Mutakabbir, then it becomes a good description. Why? Because Allah is above everything else. He is above his creation. You're right? You got this part? Okay. Al-Mutakabbir also, a second meaning of Al-Mutakabbir means that the one who is who is above human labels. You know what human labels are? They forget, huh? They cheat, huh? They eat, they drink, they sleep, right? Allah is above all of this. So he doesn't have any of those. That's another meaning of al-mutakabbir. Okay?
Wait, what was it?
Human labels such as...
Human labels, okay.
Yeah, human natures. Okay? But Allah is above all of them.
Okay.
To sleep, to eat, to talk, to cheat. Okay? The second set of names, another set of names that we're going to do, all three of them. Hu Allahu. And these are the last names in Surah Al-Hashr. The last names of Allah in Surah Al-Hashr. Hu Allahu alladhi la ilaha illa huwa. Hu Allahu. Hu Allahu al-Khaliq al-Bari' al-Musawwir. الخالق البارئ المصور.
Oh, okay.
متكبر. المتكبر. No, I just want to do it in Arabic.
Oh, okay.
Then الخالق البارئ المصور.
Three different names?
Yeah, okay. Three names together. Al-Khaliq is the designer. Al-Khaliq is the one who performs the designer, the design. So that's Al-Khaliq. Creator. Now, Al-Khaliq is the creator or the designer. The Khaliq is the designer. Al-Bari' is the originator. Originator from nothing. What were you? What were us before we're born? We're nothing. Right? Who brought us to existence? Allah. Who designed us? Allah. So the designer, the first name Al-Khaliq is the designer, the one who designs the creation. So Allah designs you to be, Allah designs human being to have things in common and unique things. Can you think of something unique everybody has? Nobody can have a similar one to another body? Huh?
Fingerprints.
Fingerprints. MashaAllah. Fingerprints. But there are so many in common between us, like the eyes, the ears, the mouth, the tongue. Those are typical stuff. These are typical, not different from one to another. So then Al-Musawwir is the former, the bestower of form, the one who forms you. The form is you in the way you are right now. It's called Al-Musawwir. 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 Okay? Now, when they come together, they are saying that Allah is the designer, Allah is the form giver, and Allah is the originator, and then Allah is the form giver. Okay. Then we move to Surah Al-Hadid. Surah Al-Hadid. You know about the design of Allah? The ant, the people who study ants, they found out that ants, if you have one grain, ants will break the grain into two halves. Okay? And then eats it. Okay? So they said, okay, is the ant doing this because of its nature or because she learned that? So they are saying the ant, it's either she learned that from other ants or that's her nature. Okay? So to figure it out, they brought an ant. And baby ant. And they put this baby ant into a bottle. And then they gave the baby ant, when the baby ant grew, they gave the baby ant a piece of grain. Okay? So guess what the baby ants did? The baby ant did?
Cutting it in half.
Cutting it in half. So that proves that this is nature or learning?
Nature.
That's nature. You got it? So, another story about the ants too. Prophet Sulaiman saw an ant, and this he said, okay, I'm going to put you in a bottle for a year with all your food. So now he put her food enough for a year, and he left. After a year, he came back, he found that the food is still half of it not eaten. They have whatever is remains over, left over is one half of the food. So he asked the ant, how come you didn't eat all your food? The ant said, when I was outside, okay, Allah is my provider. So I'm not worried. Allah will always provide for me. But when I got out, but when you locked me up in a bottle, you became the provider. You became the provider. And you're not like Allah. You can forget. Okay? So, or you can ignore. So what I did is that I ate one day and fasted the second day. So eat and fast, until she ended up having what? Half of the food left over. Why? Because she didn't trust that Prophet Sulaiman is going to remember her. He's going to remember her. Okay. So who taught the ant this wisdom? Allah taught the ant this wisdom. So ants are born with a nature. Who designed that nature?
Allah.
Who originated ants from nothing? Allah. Who formed the ants into the current shape?
Allah.
You understand that? Okay. Now, because Allah is the designer, the former, the designer, the originator, the former, He deserves to be worshipped. Allah complains to the people, I forgot what I wanted to say. So let's move on to Surah Al-Hadid. Surah Al-Hadid is about, because Allah is the designer, the form giver, and the originator and the form giver, He deserves to be worshipped. There's a problem. Allah saying that I create and the people worship somebody else. Right? Is that fair? Who is the one that should be worshipped? Allah. So Allah is complaining that He creates, but people worship something else. People worship something else. All right. Now let's move to Surah Al-Hadid, the iron. Why is it called the iron? The name of the surah, iron. It came, how do we name surahs, or how surahs were named? By who?
By
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Revealed to Prophet Muhammad. Now, however, the name of the surah comes from one part in the surah that's very important. So if I call it and say Surah Al-Iron, the Surah of Hadid, iron, then I'm talking about the Surah of Iron or Surah Al-Hadid. Then I'm highlighting very important thing, which is what? I'm highlighting a very important thing, which is from Surah Al-Hadid. Which is the miracle about Al-Hadid. The miracle about Al-Hadid. So, you know how did I personally figure out that Islam is the right religion? Because of the scientific statements of the Quran that was not known at the time of Prophet Muhammad. And even if it was known, there's no reason for Prophet Muhammad to put it in the Quran, because science on these days had no value. People people didn't appreciate science at all at his time. So these scientific miracles of the Holy Quran, among them is Al-Hadid, the miracle of Al-Hadid, or the iron. You know, the bond between the iron atoms is the strongest. The bond between the atom, the iron atoms, is what? The strongest. So when Allah created the universe, Allah created a mass. Allah created a very dense mass, like it has a density of infinity. Then Allah made this mass explode. And when this mass exploded, it covered the entire universe. It filled the entire universe with what? With the smoke. Then the atoms of this smoke started getting bonded together to form material, right? So that was, before that was the origin of this, that was smoke. Everything you see around you, at the beginning of the creation, it was smoke. It was smoke. Then This smoke started, the atoms started combining themselves together to get what? To get like different materials, like to get hydrogen, to get oxygen, to get water, okay? And then we have different materials because of this. This is, they call it, I think, the Big Bang Theory. Huh? They call it what?
The Big Bang.
Oh yeah, the Big Bang Theory. The universe was created by an explosion.
Yes, and filled up with an explosion of a mass with infinite density.
But like science and religion aren't supposed to converge together, so how is like...
Well, in Islam, science and religion, they do go together, hand to hand.
Because like in science it says we started off as monkeys, but in the Quran it says we started off with Adam and Eve.
Yeah, so we started off with Adam and Eve. We are the kids of Adam and Eve.
Everyone,
but like in
yes,
science,
all the entire humanity.
In science, it says like we started off as monkeys and then slowly evolved into humans.
This,
how is that possible?
Yeah, this doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Okay, why? Because I'll give you one bad thing that results out of this. You know, some people will say we are more developed than others. That's why they draw black people to be like jumping trees like monkeys. So the message is there that the black people didn't develop as much as the white people. Okay? So then what do you do with the animals? You slaughter them, right? Because you have a higher human being. You are a higher creation. So because you have a higher creation, you do what with the animals? You can slaughter them, eat them, or whatever. So some people who say that, then they justify killing other people. They say they are not far developed from monkeys. They are not far developed from monkeys. And because of that, they are just like the animals. We can kill them. We can rule them. We don't have to give them the rights they deserve. Why? Because they did not develop as much. So that theory is very dangerous. And it leads to dangerous situation. Okay? And it doesn't make any sense. Okay? Why? Because there is no evidence. There's no evidence that says this is negating Allah as the creator. Okay. Now, Allah exists, right? According to the evolution theory, Allah does not exist. Okay. The universe is full of proofs that Allah exists. Such as what? Okay. I'll just pick one example. If I tell you that there is a ship that leaves New York 5 o'clock, okay, in the evening. Today, 5 o'clock in the evening. Okay. And this ship arrives at India after 3 days. And the ship did not have a crew or a driver or a captain. The ship by itself navigated itself. Would you believe me?
That actually happened.
How likely, what are the odds of of a ship without captain, without crew, navigates itself?
Highly unlikely, but there is the Bermuda Triangle, and that kind of stuff happens nearly all the time there.
Which is what?
The Bermuda Triangle.
Oh, yeah. We don't want to talk about things that we don't understand, because we don't know what's in Bermuda Triangle. Generally speaking, would you believe me?
No.
No. So I am telling you that the moon has been, okay, the moon and the sun has been going around the earth in a very accurate path. Very accurate path. And the question is, can this be done without a crew and driver?
No.
No? So who takes care, who makes the sun so accurate?
Allah.
Okay. So if there's no Allah, then who is the boss of the creation?
Allah.
If there's no Allah, then who's the boss?
No one.
And you know, when people lose loved ones, and they feel so bad, so sad. Okay, they put them into something called grief management classes. Grief management class to control their sadness so that they don't kill themselves out of sadness, right? And guess what's the first rule they teach them in this school? They teach them you have to surrender yourself to the power of, you have to surrender yourself to higher power, to decisions made by higher powers. Because higher powers made the decision that your children are going to be killed or your children are going to die, and there's no way you can change it or stop it. So you have to surrender yourself to the power of, you have to surrender yourself to the power of the higher power, to the will of the higher power. You got that? So who is the higher power?
Allah.
However, in grieving classes, they don't want to teach something like sensitive like that, subjects. So they say higher power, the will of higher power. What is that higher power? Define higher power.
Allah.
Okay. He made the decision and nobody can stop the decision. If you are so sad, if you kill yourself, nothing will change because Allah made the decision and it happened. You got this part? Okay. What else proves the existence of Allah? The products of Allah. Do you see the products of Allah around you? The human beings, the nature, how beautiful it is. It is an evidence that there is a maker. You understand? So the evolution, theory of evolution is not right. Now, Quran, there's another proof. Quran is from the, can't be from the invention of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam for many reasons. Did Prophet Muhammad know how to read or write?
No.
He didn't. Yes, he didn't. He just talks Arabic, but he didn't know how to read or write. If you are studying journalism and I ask you to write an article, and the article comes to be a bad article, okay? Then I review the article and I ask you to improve. Then you try to improve it. Then you work write another article. And then write another article. And then write a book. And then improve writing the book. You see what I'm getting there? That in order for somebody to write a book, this person has to be educated. This person must have experience writing books. Okay? To write a good book. Prophet Muhammad, first publication was Quran. How could the first publication of a man be a Quran or a textbook like that? How could it be? Okay? It can't be. I mean, Prophet Muhammad didn't go to school. Prophet Muhammad didn't practice producing publications. Now, the Quran says that we came from Adam and Eve, right?
Yeah.
If we believe in the Quran, then we believe that we came from Adam and Eve. Now, what makes us believe that the Quran is true? I'm going to talk about one scientific miracle here that made the Quran, make you and me believe the Quran is true. The ayah, the surah, the iron, has a verse about the iron in the middle of the surah. Just one verse. Allah, just one verse, he named the surah after this one verse. What is so miraculous about the atoms, about the iron? Okay? The iron, after the Big Bang, the atoms of the gas, or the smoke, sorry, started combining themselves together to form other material. Okay? So now, let's talk about the iron. The bond between the iron, the atoms of iron, the bond between them is the highest. Highest. This is why iron is the strongest material, right? Okay. And the bond between the atoms of the atoms of iron are so strong, stronger than anything else. Now, regarding the how would the atoms combine themselves together, they need an energy. They need energy to start with combining themselves together. Okay? So this energy comes from where?
From
the sun. Right? So the sun created energy necessary or needed for the atoms to combine. That's right. However, they studied the hadith, the iron. They found out that the sun does not produce enough energy to form iron. The sun does not provide energy to form iron. On the other hand, iron, for like 95% of the earth is iron. Okay? And this, and the existence of iron changes from like high ratio in the middle of the earth core to 5% in the earth crust. So the earth crust has a lot of iron and the earth core has a lot of iron. Scientists started finding out where did this iron came from. Okay, so what is the dilemma here that they're trying to solve? Huh? What is about the iron, dilemma about the iron that scientists is trying to solve? Who can tell me? That's right. The sun is too weak to combine the atoms together to form iron. The energy of the sun is too little. It's not enough to form iron. And they looked at the sun. They found that the sun, images from the sun, does not show iron in there. Then they said, okay, where did iron come from? They were puzzled. They say, where did iron come from? Where did iron come from? So they looked and they found that iron was made far away in far away stars. These stars are millions, billions of times larger than the sun. In order to, do you see these stars that you see up there? In order to be able to see it, and this star is like 4 million light years away, then it must be very big to be able to see it, okay, from here. So there are stars, faraway stars, that are billions of times larger than the sun, and it has billions of times more energy. And these stars are enough to form, the energy of these stars are enough to form iron. You got it? So what was the dilemma? How did iron form? Why not form by the sun? The sun is too weak. The sun is too weak to form the iron. Then the iron has to be done where? Form where? And far away, huh? And far away stars that are billions of times stronger than the sun, bigger than the sun, and it has billions of times more energy than the sun. You got that part? All right. Just like if you think about Superman, in the faraway red sun, it was red sun, right? He was strong. He wasn't that strong. He was like normal. When he came to our sun, he became very strong. Why? They don't have less power. So he came to here, he becomes like an iron. Some people call him the Iron Man. Some people call him the Jabbar Man, a Rajul Jabbar. So Think of it that same way. Think of it the same way. The iron formed over there because it has a lot of energy, enough info, formed over these stars. And it was sent down to Earth. So listen to this clue. The iron was, iron was what? Sent down to what?
Us.
To Earth. The iron was sent down to Earth. Guess how did iron came from these faraway stars to Earth? How did this happen? Any idea? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it in such a way that the iron will travel into the space and it will hit the earth, infiltrate the earth. You got it? So who made that happen? Allah. So when Allah did that, He said, Allah didn't say we created the iron. Allah said we sent down the iron. In the ayah that speaks about the iron, Allah said we sent down the iron. Okay? So, do you see the miracle here? So what is the miracle now?
That they sent down the iron.
Okay. Now, how is that a miracle? How is that a miracle? How is that a miracle? Why sending down the iron? Why statement of Allah say we send down the iron is a miracle? Why?
Because iron was formed here.
And it formed where?
Formed here.
Far away
from
stars. And then it was? Send to us. You got this part? So why is it miraculous when Allah says, I send down the iron?
Because it's forming far away.
Far away. And why the iron was had to form far away? Because of what? Because of what? Why did the iron...
Because it was like 4 times stronger than the sun.
Oh, billions of times stronger than the sun. Because the sun energy is not enough for to produce iron. Okay? Now, what do you think Allah would say in Surah Al-Hadid? He said, we sent down the iron. He didn't say we created the iron. He said what?
Sent down.
He sent down the iron. Okay? So what's the miracle?
Sent down.
Yes, so how is that a miracle? Allah? How is that a miracle?
From far away stars.
From far away stars to Earth.
Yeah.
And then the statement in the Quran says Allah, what, created iron or sent down iron?
Sent down.
Sent down iron. So Allah is... By naming the surah after this very part of the ayah, the iron is just not an ayah, just part of an ayah. And Allah's naming the whole surah after this means that there is a lot of miracle about this ayah. Yes. Do you understand now?
Yeah.
Okay. Did Prophet Professor Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, did Professor Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew about this?
Who's Professor Muhammad?
I'm being sarcastic. It's just like, how would he know these things and put it in the Quran? You got it? So the iron was sent down. That's the miracle. Another miracle in the Quran is the shape and role of mountains. You know, the earth crust is very shaky. The earth crust. What happens if I put this in water? If I put this book to float on water, not the book, let's say the paper. What happens if the paper is floating on water? If it is floating?
It'll get wet. It's gonna get wet.
Yes, but what would happen with
it?
It will always what? Shake, right?
Yeah.
Right? Am I right? Okay.
So
in order to prevent this paper from vibrating, then you had to hold it.
In the water.
You have to apply a force like this, pushing down. And the water is pushing up. So it's like holding it. Do you see this? What is pushing the earth crust up?
The water.
I'm sorry, what is pushing the paper up? The water. Okay? What is pushing it down? Huh? The weight. So the buoyancy force from the water and the gravity, the weight, are holding it like this. So it's no longer, it doesn't shake like this. The modern science, so what is the also Allah said in the Quran that the shape of the mountain is like a pig. Like a pig, you know the pig that hammers?
Like a pig can hammer?
If you make a tent, you know these sticks?
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Allah talks about, it's like pigs. We call them pigs or we call them what?
I don't know.
Pegs.
Pigs.
Huh?
Pigs.
Bags, right.
Pegs.
Yeah.
Pegs.
Is it P like people or P like boy?
P.
Like people?
Yes.
Okay. So pegs.
Yes.
Okay. Now, so the shape of the mountains like pegs, and the role of the mountain is to make the earth crust what? Stable. To make the earth crust stable. So.
Pig, not pegs.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
The pig axe.
I'm going to take a picture and draw it on the other side.
The pig axe. You had mentioned it in the 20th century.